Bruce Willis was dead the whole time.
There were two killers.
Luke, that's your daddy.
The robot did it.
Snape was a good guy.
He really wasn't cheating.
They was in purgatory the whole time.
What? Everybody dies.
Verbal Kent is Kaiser Sose.
They killed old Yella.
Oh my god. Everybody in this Tyler Perry movie got AIDS.
Spoiler movie reviews.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Spoiled Movie Reviews on the Blackout Tips Premium Podcast Network. I'm your host, Rod, and joined today by a very special host, co-host, Justin. What's going on, Brain?
Good evening, old chap.
It's good to talk to you again, my friend. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while since we did a review.
And today, you know, since we can't go to the movies to review shit anymore, it does kind of remind me of old times, though, when we get those screeners and we just review the movies we get sent in the mail, which we watch at home. So it's kind of like it's all the same thing. And today we're going to review Netflix's Fatal Affair, which stars Nia Long and Omar Epps and a bunch of people you probably never heard of. And of course, we spoil movies here, so we'll be talking about what we liked about the movie, what we didn't like about the movie. We'll score from 0 to 5. So if you don't like spoilers, if you haven't seen the movie, or you know, whatever, then just don't listen to this after you've seen the movie, or unless you don't care about spoilers, or if you, you know, you have seen, or, you know, if you plan on never seeing the movie. This is also, one of my favorite genres of movie. Black executive fan fiction, which I love. I go up for black executive fan fiction all the time. One of my favorite genres. I need to watch more of them, but you know, we've covered some on the show. I remember last year I reviewed in The Intruder, which was an amazing black executive fan fiction. There was also what's the woman that used to be married to Robin Thicke, Paul or something?
Yeah, Paula Patton.
Paula Patton's movie where she got abducted and was trying to make her a sex slave. That was another great black executive fan fiction. And so we're gonna get into and then I watched another one last year that had Michael Ealy as a crazy man.
The perfect guy
was great. Like, I love this genre, okay? Like, it's literally almost impossible to disappoint me when it comes to black executive fan fiction, because if you don't have a plot, I will fill it in for you, okay? If it's terrible, I will make it good in my brain. And if it's just a bad movie, it becomes a comedy, which is also acceptable for entertainment purposes. But Justin, before we get into all this stuff, let's talk about the plot, okay? So, Fatal Affair is about a woman named Ellie, played by Nia Long, who tries to mend her marriage with her husband Marcus after a brief encounter with an old friend, David, only to find David is more dangerous and unstable than she'd realized. Justin, give me something that you liked about this film.
So, damn, it's hard to narrow it down.
Mm-hmm. Give me one thing. Give me one thing you liked, and then I'll go without what thing I like. We'll go back and forth.
I'll start from the beginning of the film. I love the fact that they showed the characters where they were at and didn't do a whole lot of backstory. They just was like, bam, look at these rich people, black people at that, living and enjoying life. And I enjoyed that, right? Like, they showed Nia Long being a boss from the very beginning.
Well, that is definitely a huge part of black executive fan fiction, right? You have respectable, highly skilled positions like a lawyer. And of course, Nia Long is basically a boss at her firm. Everyone knows she's ambitious. She's up and coming. She's running things. She runs into Omar Epps at a meeting where she's trying to, they need to employ his, less than scrupulous, hacking services.
We spoiling it. He's a hacker. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was just that, you know, he was seen as the, like, but top of his field, but less than scrupulous. A thing that worked for me, I love the examination of toxic black masculinity and the onus that is put upon the viewer as we watch this man who has been ultimately rejected, rebuffed, you know, even though he got to the precipice. We watch this man's entitlement over the black black woman's body become a detriment to his own behavior. And you know, this is a big theme in society right now, where people feel that they own black women's bodies, that black women are on the front lines of protest movements, and then you have these brothers that, you know, feel like black women owe us and that they belong to us, despite her situations and her own autonomy, which he ignored throughout the entire movie, in order to try to, you know, make her his woman. And I feel like that statement that was made by Peter Sullivan, who directed this, was not only prescient, but extremely relevant to these dangerous times that we're living in. What else did you like?
I'm starting with the basic things first, but. Mm-hmm. Clearly love the fact that they had the light-skinned black man in the movie being a good dude. It brought me back to some Tyler Perry feels from some of his classic hits. And it may become a trope, but I enjoy seeing it. I enjoy seeing good light-skinned black men on screen. I really do. It makes me feel just a little more at ease and comfortable.
Well, that, you know, let me piggyback on what you just said, because I think that's a very astute observation there. I love Fatal Affair's commentary on colorism within the black community, because as you notice, her husband and daughter were both lighter than Ellie, you know, and I believe yep. that does come into part into their privilege of not being able to see and understand the hard life that Ellie was living, you know, some of the struggles that she was going through as a brown skinned black woman with her job, you know, with this man who's pursuing her, who feels like she belongs to him, you know, with even the struggles in their marriage, where she felt like she was waking up every day next to a stranger, feeling unseen and unloved, as we know many brown women go through, you know, and to see her struggle with that, with feeling attractive, with feeling enough at work, with feeling like she is wanted in her marriage, that sort of thing haunts many darker black women to this day. And for them to suss that out and put that in this script and jump off the page in this performance, amazing stuff. So I completely agree with you. And the husband, I feel like he reminds me of Will Smith. You know, after Will Smith found out about August Alsina, I imagine he must have gone through some of the same things. But in that passionate scene where she apologizes for like the fifth time, and he says to her, "I remember the day I met you and fell in love with you," and all this stuff. So yeah, absolutely amazing performance by her husband, who was Stephen Bishop. Okay.
Yep.
So you guys may know Bishop from, of course, Moneyball, Battleship, and Safe House. Okay. Another thing that worked for me has to be the way that this movie spoke on classism, you know, because you're talking about a movie where black people have a lot of money. Okay, this is black executive family. I mean, they
a lot of money.
They live in a mansion, essentially. Their daughter is,
they got a private beach,
right? They're clearly paying for their daughter's tuition, right? Like they can't, she comes home and they make a mention that she's not on scholarship, not because she isn't a brilliant, smart black woman that probably could earn a scholarship, but because she doesn't need scholarship, because they got it. Okay. And I love how they speak to that, but how also the classism of it still does not extend to the policing. Okay. The police still see a black family, and that's why the police are never there on time. They are not taking this man's threat seriously, and ultimately show up and get killed by the man, because they have let their guard down when it comes to protecting black lives. And I think that statement on the utter uselessness of policing in 2020 America, in Trump's America, makes a grandiose statement to our current modern day struggles with defunding and abolishing policing, because ultimately they serve no purpose. Okay, their job is to get this man off the street, and yet what did they actually prevent in this movie at all? So that was definitely something I noticed and thought was extremely smart.
So, you know, because I haven't seen Nia Long in many movies recently, I knew they were going to force her to have more nudity. And they didn't. I was surprised we got the one breast that we did get, partial breast, excuse me, that we did get. And I thought that was very good, too, to say, you know what? Yeah, even though she's a black woman, she's going to be the star of the film. We're not going to resort to that type of filming to get people to buy into this movie. We're going to rely on acting, and we're going to rely on storyline and not just the nudity to sell this film.
And Omar Epps himself also never gets completely nude in the film. You know, some people have attributed it to mailing it in and saying, oh, neither one of these actors really cared about the script, blah, blah, blah. That's not how I took it. I took it as empowerment of the black body.
Yeah.
You know, and also deference to the female gaze. You know, I feel that they didn't want to exploit these black people, you know, and especially in a movie where Nia Long, as fine as she is and as thick as she is, you know, you almost expect a level of objectification, you know, not unlike the Hottentot Venus. But you did not get that from this director, a white man, so you would expect it, but you did not get that from this director, as he chose instead to empower these black people to have very sexy, lustily love scenes, but without the nudity and the crass vulgarity that it often accompanies the objectification of the black body. So yeah, I could not agree with you more. And I mean, we still get, because she is Nia Long and she is beautiful, we still do get these moments where we see her body, such as at 1 hour 24 minutes and 9 seconds when she is laying on her stomach trying to save Omar Epps from falling off the cliff. And at that point you can see, with her laying there horizontally, them cheeks. So you know, I definitely see where you're coming from on that, Justin. Another thing that I would say I loved, the ending with Omar Epps, you know, spoiler alert, obviously, death scene. I'll play some of this for you so you can, and I guess I can show you on my screen. You guys can see the, now that we're doing this live, you can actually see the scene. But this is Omar Epps at the end.
Can't you see we were meant to be together?
Oh, David, please.
Let me make it up to you. Start over. I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm not gonna hurt you.
Omar Epps' character, David, falls off a cliff. He's barely hanging on. Nia Long character, Ellie, dives to his rescue. And she is all that is keeping him suspended above a cliff before falling into the water. And she does this for roughly 30, 40 seconds. And then he eventually does fall. This is also where that shot is of the butt. Okay, so very important scene.
I got you, baby.
See, that was where the thickness was. And he's dead.
And you know why that scene is important? Mm-hmm. Most people are saying, why try to save him?
Right.
But because black people value other black people, it may seem like the typical black on black crime to some of you other listeners, but no, we make all efforts to save lives. Okay. That's a prime example of that.
That is definitely an interpretation of that I can agree with, but I'll take it even a step further, my brother. I feel that this is about the deference of the black woman and the sacrifice that she makes for black men who essentially do her no good. Okay, at the end of the day, the only person that could be of any use was her husband as a weight to counterbalance her and hold her from going off the cliff himself. He was actually pretty much useless in that entire scene. He does stop her from being shot, but immediately gets his ass whooped, and she comes to check on him, and then she gets hit again because she's trying to help him out. See, it is the black woman's insistence on not letting the black man go that keeps the race together, but also keeps the black woman held down and going through traumatic situations. This movie spoke to that in a way through metaphor that many other movies have missed. But in black executive fan fiction, you have to pick up the pieces and the gems that are dropping all around you. Dare I say uncut gems, my friend, that are dropping all around you. So to see this black woman put her literal life on the line to save a broken black man that she should have just let go, and to see that sacrifice, that struggle that is played out in the Black Lives Matter movement daily happen with this movie, bravo. An amazing ending, you know, and you know, and a husband that was supportive but did not take away her agency or try to overshadow her. And she at the end of the day had to learn to save herself and to do what to Justin? To let go. Because ultimately black women need to let go of the baggage that is holding them down and the black men that do not serve them. Okay, so the ending to me, stupendous meta commentary on the black struggle throughout, you know, when commentary on cishet normative relationships. But I would even go as far to say, speaking on, you know, even just without the cishet romanticism, it still speaks to me. So what else did you like? Is there, if there was anything else?
It's several other scenes. When she was confronted, when, excuse me, not she, let me use names in here, Nia Long's character, Ellie was confronted by her best friend, I believe is Courtney was her name, about the fact that Nia didn't tell her that she was dating Omar Epps' character, David, in the past, and they had history. And Nia Long basically was like, listen, this dude is dangerous. But Ellie had seen the text that Nia had been sending him. I thought that was wonderful that at that point they disregarded the fact that he was a computer hacker. And I thought that's good writing right there. Well, I really thought that was good writing.
Maya Stojan, who plays Courtney in the movie, I don't know her racial background, but she seems to be like spicy white in the movie.
I thought she was racial ambiguous. I thought that was a good choice.
Very good choice. Here's the thing that why that's so important, because I saw people dismissing this like, oh, bullshit. You're not going to believe your coworker, best friend over this man you just met? Except.
Yes.
Except how many times is the black woman gone not believed? How many times have we taken a black man's word over a black woman, a black man who has done nothing to earn anything from you, and yet we ignore the black woman who has given everything to you? It does not mean that only men do this. Many women do this. They skip right over it and they go, I'm gonna pick the team of misogyny. What I believe Courtney represents in this movie is the 53%. The 53% of white women who chose Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton, you know, going against their own, because at the end of the day, they will always make that choice. And that is why Ellie goes unbelieved. So I felt that was extremely relevant, and I'm glad you pointed it out. Another thing I would say worked for me, the way that Omar Epps was dancing, okay?
yes.
You know, I really think that to see the African diaspora come out in that brother's movements, the cultural language that he moved through the room with, you know, as they played, I believe it was Forget Me Not, or you know, I really did appreciate what they were trying to say about, you know, black people and love, and how we have an enduring language of rhythmic of rhythmic communication that goes through all times, and they picked up right where they left off in college. And to see two amazing thespians transform that script into poetry was amazing.
One of the other things I liked about the movie is normally in movies like that, a lot of times they get it wrong when they have black professionals and they show them during their downtime. Mm-hmm. The wardrobe typically doesn't match. Mm-hmm. But not in this movie. They did a great job of having them as young black professionals. And then even during their off work hours, they still fit the part of what you would think of people who live that lifestyle, and had those two men going to play golf, mm-hmm. bonding in a way that typically black men love to do, which is over a game of golf. Other movies, they'll have them playing basketball, mm-hmm. a game of spades, something trivial. But mm-hmm. no, they kept it right in this movie. I appreciated that.
Well, I felt like this was a tremendous statement on the consumerism that we accept as self-care. Because, you know, when she almost, you know, has that unfortunate moment of taking temptation into her own hands and almost cheating on her husband, you know, with Omar Epps in a sexual nature, to see that she rededicated herself to the romance of the relationship. She rededicated herself to her fitness. She started jogging more and stuff like that. You kind of lose track of the fact that these are rich people. So playing golf, you know, attending these events, you know, spending so much time with her daughter, all this stuff. This is consumerism masked as this hyper-capitalistic ideal. And to see the record that he bought come into play to show that capitalism will not save you from this, okay? Capitalism cannot fix what is internally broken within the black diaspora, specifically between male, female, cis, heteronormative, romantic relationships. And that was where, you know, like I said, you clearly picked up on all that, but that was, you know, I had to reiterate what you already said, but yeah, that was extremely, extremely well done.
No, I appreciate you elaborating on those thoughts.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, my good man. I was trying to think, what else did I like? I also like the runtime. They said, listen, we don't need pacing, okay? We don't need tone. You have a lot to do, okay? You're a busy person. We're going to give you an hour and 27 minutes of straight heat, okay? We're not doing any of these, like, ain't no mountain high enough montages, none of that, okay? We're not even going to tease this affair out, okay? They didn't even have sex. This man, and I am not questioning his motivation, because I once went to a Bobcats game when Jason Richardson was on the Bobcats, and it was rumored at the time he was dating Nia Long, but Nia Long was in the audience, and she got up and walked from her first row seat to get something to drink or use the bathroom, I don't know. But oh, absolutely, I would stalk that woman. Okay, that's all you need. That's all you need. So, like, it writes itself, because some people are gonna be like, "Oh, he didn't get any. She barely kissed him, and he was ready to throw it all away." It's Nia Long, so you know you don't have to do a lot of explaining about his obsession with Nia Long. I mean, when it was so funny when they revealed, "Oh, look, he's been obsessed with Nia Long for 20 years." I said, "Who hasn't?" Okay, yeah. You could have walked in any black man's closet and found them pictures.
And think about it. She's a black woman. She doesn't have multiple babies, fathers, mm-hmm. Different things like that. So, of course, she's like a rare unicorn. Mm-hmm. Of course, he stalked her. There's not many other black women that he has to choose from.
She would never stalk him. Okay. So, yeah, absolutely. So I thought that a lot of that runtime, they saved it by casting the people they cast. And by writing it the way they wrote it, like I said, I was able to watch this last night. Justin brought up that he had watched it. I watched it that night because it ran that fast. Anything else for the positives?
That will be it for the positives. I have a comment, but it'll come towards the rating of the show.
Well, do you have any negatives for Fatal Affair?
Yes. And it's such a mute thing, but when she moved into her own practice, mm-hmm. right? I did not like that David killed the receptionist. I thought that was unnecessary. I felt like, I mean, he could have maybe threatened her. He could have scared her to show like, okay, he's going over the edge. But I felt like killing her was an unnecessary kill, especially for a movie where it's starring most primarily black people. We don't have to kill the black people.
You know, I did want to bring up something else for the positives. I forgot. I'm glad you brought this up. When he had Courtney dressed in Ellie's lingerie before they had sex.
Forgot about that scene.
That spoke to me as a direct shot across the bow of the Kardashian empire. As if to say the black woman's body and aesthetic is something that can be worn, yet not unlike a sexy lingerie, right? In order to intoxicate and arouse the black male psyche. And to see that played out on screen, to say you cannot steal the black woman's aesthetic, okay, that meant a lot to me. And I also gotta disagree with you slightly. I hate to do this to you, but I have to disagree slightly. I felt the killing of the black administrative assistant was a necessary point to talk about the amount of domestic violence and situations in which black women are minding their own business and black men see them as expendable. So how can you love Ellie if you do not love all black women? How can you love Ellie if you are willing to kill a black woman to get to Ellie for no reason? So I felt that it was a statement on the way that we see the casualness that we expend black women's lives. But at the same time, I do understand it always leaves a traumatic feeling to see a black woman killed on screen in this fashion. So I totally understand.
Yeah, just primarily because he left Courtney alive. Mm-hmm. When he could have healed her too. Yeah. But to also highlight when you mentioned wearing the black woman's aesthetic, I thought it was key to show how intoxicated that David Omar Epps' character was with Nia Long's character Ellie, was in the fact that he smelled her nightgown too.
Yes.
As he stole into
the home. As we all would have. We all knew what was happening in that scene. I think
he took a moment to breathe in and just took a moment to enjoy the scent. Nia Long scent.
Yes. The essence, if you would. Okay. As the French call it, the je ne sais quoi of her essence, you know?
I had completely forgot about that scene until you reminded me about him sharing that nightgown. Yes.
I guess, let's see, for things I didn't like about this movie, man, it's so hard to think of any. You know, I guess a critical person, you know, that did not like this movie might say, two aging black actors mailed in a Netflix movie straight to DVD or whatever quality film that, you know, didn't necessarily have too complex of a plot or highlight, you know, the emotional performances, and they, you know, didn't really have sexual chemistry on the screen, so they didn't really you know, give us a lot, and it felt like they couldn't wait to be off the set and just like, can you pay me directly in cash for this bullshit, because I has no fucking way that I'm gonna be sitting here drop dead. I don't know any of these other actors, because clearly none of them are of my caliber. I can't believe my agent tricked me into doing this shit. You know, nice to see you, Nia, nice to see you, Omar, but what the fuck? I could understand someone feeling that way and feeling that, you know, the predictability of it and the lack of enthusiasm delivered in some of the lines were not artistic choices, but considered to be artistically lazy. And that, you know, a white man could never truly understand the aesthetic of blackness that he was speaking in what was clearly a black movie, even though, you know, race does not come up very often in this movie, if at all. So I could see people critically saying that. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Well, I think you articulately expressed the sentiments of some people. I disagree with those people. I looked at this project as a passion project for both of them, And I thought they did a wonderful job expressing what was just put forth for them. And due to the, if you will, the storyline and the actual what the writers wrote for them for dialogue, I thought they did a wonderful job expressing that.
Oh, of course. I mean, like I said, this, I could just see someone saying that, but as a, you like, as you say, a small independent film passion project, the black people coming together, I would never feel that way. Black executive fan fiction is literally probably my third favorite movie genre behind Impossible White Men, and of course white people fucking with shit they have no business fucking with. So I would not say that.
And they've worked together on multiple projects before, Neil Long and Omar Epps, from In Too Deep even, and years ago when Omar was first getting into Hollywood acting. So they have a history of working together that it made sense to put them two together.
Yeah, all right.
For this passion project.
Well, let's rate it 0 to 5. You did say you had one comment you wanted to bring up.
Yeah, so I'm going to give it a 4. Almost a 5, but there was one other scene I didn't like, was when she left his apartment right after he did, but somehow he made it to his girlfriend at the time, Courtney's apartment, before Nia could even make a phone call. I thought the timing in that seemed kind of odd and how quickly he got there. But besides that,
well, technically, I think you're misremembering. She did get the call to Courtney. Courtney just didn't want to believe her. Then Courtney checked his phone, and then he killed her. So,
but that was once he got there. Like, he just got there in record time for the length of the phone call.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You saying she didn't? Oh, okay, I see. I thought it was that she wasn't answering the phone, but maybe I missed a detail.
That was the previous time when she just stopped answering Nia.
So Nia early on. So Ellie took too long to pick up the phone to make the call.
Yeah,
I see. Yeah,
but no. So I give it a 4.
4 out of 5.
Okay. Out of 5. Yes. And clearly, for this movie, had me talking to the TV screen the entire movie. It brought out something in me that reminded me of my childhood. It brought me back to several films I had seen in the past where I was talking to this film, as you do most thrillers, as you do most love stories.
Right.
Don't, girl, what you doing? Why? Don't do that. Yes, that's right. Go for it. Black love. It had me cheering for them at one point. For her and her relationship with her husband.
In the historic tradition of the black call and response during movies. I absolutely understand and totally convey that same sentiment, my brother. So for me, I would give this movie a 1 out of 5.
Wow.
Only because I believe it is a pretty objectively terrible movie. But
wow.
But on
my, I cannot believe you, sir.
Listen, I have to be honest with the people. But on my black executive fan fiction scale of 0 to 5, obviously it's a 5, like all other black executive fan fiction. There's no way to not have a 5 because you attempted to make a movie about rich black people going through traumatic, horrific experiences. So, you know, I would definitely give it 5 out of 5 for BEF, and 1 out of 5 for just, oh, I want to watch something on Netflix. You may end up being quite disappointed if you just expecting, if you don't understand what black executive fan fiction is speaking to. So just want to cover all the bases.
Even as a regular Netflix film, like, it is thoroughly entertaining for the hour and 10 minutes that you're watching it. Like, from start to finish, it is pure action. Enthralled, even. It has you screaming at the TV.
I would not.
From start to finish.
I would not disagree with you, personally. Wow. So.
Well, I could watch it again. Might watch it again this weekend.
I could watch it again myself.
Might even watch it again.
Yeah. One of my favorite genres of movie. Had me at black executive fan fiction, honestly.
Must say, I thoroughly enjoyed your breakdown and analysis of this film, though.
Thank you.
You brought it again, as usual.
Thank you, man.
We probably need to do more of these. Like, if they have a genre of films like this on Netflix, we can go through them. And
is Obsessed on there? Because I've never seen Obsessed, and I hear great things. So if Obsessed is on Netflix, we can do that one next. I don't mind. I'm a big fan. You know, big fan of these. I believe Beyonce stars in that one. So, you know, I'm a big fan of these movies, and I think we need more of them. Honestly, it's
so no.
All right, well, I'm gonna click remind me on Netflix when it's coming, because I will watch it. All right, that's it for today's spoiler movie review. Justin, thank you so much as always for being here, and I appreciate you watching the movie with me, because I couldn't get Karen to watch it, so thanks.
Well, I appreciate you having me. We hadn't done this in a while.
Yes, sir. Peace.